Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Donald Trump at CPAC 2023 vows revenge on all his enemies in second term as president. Is that what we need? Donald Trump said, in 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged or betrayed, I am your retribution. Wow. Well, there's your Kool-Aid, people. Drink up. Help Donald Trump to use the presidency as his own personal revenge mechanism. But no thanks. Not me, and not this time. Ezekiel 20:33 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, and with a fury poured out will I rule over you. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Donald Trump gave a blistering speech at CPAC, working hard to evoke some of the magic of his 2016 campaign, but it is nigh impossible to forget Trump's 2020 failure to beat Joe Biden. Impossible to forget the ill-fated stolen election nonsense, and it is impossible to forget all the unfulfilled promises of his first term. Now at CPAC 2023, Donald Trump has vowed revenge and retribution against all his enemies and to use his presidency to accomplish that purpose. However, when he was president, Donald Trump refused to pardon Julian Assange. Why? Donald Trump vowed to send Hillary to prison, but that never happened. He vowed to build the wall and only completed 20% of his biggest campaign promise. Worst of all, Donald Trump could have fired Fauci and refused to do that as well. Now, you do remember that he was the one who brought us the COVID vaccine, right? Yeah, that was Trump too. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we check in with Donald Trump, and then we're going to work our way out and about and across the end times landscape. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for waking us up today, for putting food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. God, we're glad and we're grateful. And so, Lord, we come before you today, and we pray for Annetta, who needs a complete healing and the ability to walk again after having a stroke. Robert Wiley and his wife Lisa. Robert is battling ALS disease. We're praying for pregnant women, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, and Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla. Jeanette's cousin Andrew is recovering from a stroke. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying for him. Mark Saxa would like prayers for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Clayton Perry, side effects from chemotherapy. Craig Arford and Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy battling cancer. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Matt is in urgent need of salvation. Sarah Shine wants prayer for her three children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott, as well as prayers for her health. Carol Jane is hospitalized until March, and we're praying for her. We're praying for CJ's mom to get saved. Maddie Luck has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, and we're praying for her. Aunt Nancy says, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Amanda and Mike, the LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, and Cheryl H. all have an unspoken prayer. Kevin Thompson, he needs prayer for finances, lawsuit, career change, and gospel track success. Angela's mom to the short list for healing and salvation. Deborah Shular praying for health issues after getting a parasite in December. Charlton's wife, Debbie, has eye surgery coming up in 14 days from today on the 20th. Yasmina, please pray for my daughter's godfather. He is in the hospital with lung cancer. We're praying for Leslie, that the Lord will intervene in a very important and, I would say, desperate financial situation, that the Lord would step in and do something there. Pat Burns, please pray for me. I have an important prostate test coming up this Friday. Excuse me, I seem to all of a sudden be losing my voice. Trisha says, I can't walk well, but I'm not having pain at night, so that's a definite improvement. And that's a huge praise report. Jeanette has a huge praise report. She says, one of my really big unspoken prayers was just answered. I am so thankful to the Lord. Amen. Veronica Higginbotham, please pray for me. I am traveling to Mexico, Missouri. I'm going to my son's court. He has court today. So Veronica is asking for the Lord's favor on her son at his court appearance in a town called Mexico, Missouri. Palmetto State Guy, please keep my mother Eunice in your prayers. She's home from the hospital now, and thank the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here today, and Lord, for all these prayers for health and for healing. And we ask you to work and move, Father God, as only you can. And Father God, heal that which is broken and drive out the disease and the illness. People who need their finances restored, like Leslie, please help her. And people who need just a really important, well, they're all important, but man, ALS disease and Lewy body dementia and cancer, huge things. And please watch over the women who are pregnant, that you would keep mother and baby safe and deliver healthy babies, Lord, at full term. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I have to clear my throat. Don't go away.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church I am a part. Its doors are open, come as you are. We know no boundaries, there are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
set and ready to go. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, talking about the church. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 18, talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We are the church. We are born again believers, and we are gathering together as we love to do multiple times per week. And the Bible says, neglect not the assembling together of yourselves as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And we are the church, and I am so glad and so grateful every time that we get to come together and meet by way of the internet, and we get to plunder the enemy's kingdom, and we get to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. And I'm just so glad and so grateful to be here. If you've come to hear a podcast, you're in the right place. And if you've come looking for church, you're also in the right place. And we have a lot of new listeners lately, and we're very glad for that. A number of you, before we get started talking about Trump today, and we have a lot to say about Trump. But before we get started with that, I want to play this clip. A lot of you sent me the link for this video over the weekend very excitedly. Spencer Smith over on YouTube, he's a Baptist pastor, and he has a really, really good YouTube channel. He talks about a lot of the things that we talk about here, and he read our article last week about the Jesus Revolution movie. And he talked about it on his broadcast. Take a listen to Spencer Smith talks about NTEB article on the Jesus Revolution movie.
So now the NBNs did a great article on this whole issue. And I want to talk to you about the soft acceptance of homosexuality for just a few minutes that I think the church is we're dangerously close to accepting this. This is what this article says. The Jesus Revolution movie and all the other current media promotions of this Another Jesus are paving the way for the acceptance of an LGBT plus in churches. And let me just read you just a paragraph or two of this. The current Jesus Revolution craze that is sweeping across America is not revival, but is paving the way for the inclusion and acceptance of the LGBT in the church. You've been paying attention to the various forms, moving parts of the current Jesus Revolution movie craze. You'll find two themes that pop up constantly in all the various elements, like the Asbury Revival, He Gets His Commercials, and all the rest. The first thing you'll notice is that the preaching, that it preaches a gospel based on experience and emotions instead of sound preaching of Paul's gospel. The second thing you find is that the whole movement is working itself toward the acceptance, inclusion of LGBT people in the church. That's the goal. That's the end game. If you're not on board, you are the enemy. Now, that may seem like a loaded statement, really, but I think it's correct, and I agree with this statement. And I'm seeing it.
So there you have it. Spencer Smith talked about our article in his video last week, and we very much thank our friend Spencer for bringing that to the public's attention. Very important article, and the Jesus movie is heating up. It's becoming one of the most watched movies of the year, and you know, I'm not going to go in to all that today. We covered that for the last 2 weeks. If you've been listening to the podcast and the Bible studies, we have covered the Jesus Revolution movie, the Asbury Awakening Revival Outpouring, whatever you want to call it. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 seem to sum all that up for me. Ephesians 4, 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there you have it. And we have covered this. If you haven't heard our Bible studies or our podcast from last week, we did a podcast last Monday, a week ago, the biggest podcast we ever did. It was just under 3 hours. And we showed you in great graphic, exhaustive detail that this whole thing, the Asbury Revival, the Jesus Revolution movie, the He Gets Us commercials, all these different things, the New Apostolic Reformation, this all comes, Rick Warren, Francis Chan, Engel, whatever his first name, Lou Engel, and Bill Johnson from Bethel Church. All of this comes from something called Roman Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And you can go back and you can check out that podcast, biggest podcast we ever did. And has a ton of information. So anyway, let's get started talking about Donald Trump was at CPAC 2023. That is the annual convention of Republicans. And this is where they all meet together to see who likely is going to be the front runner for the upcoming presidential election. And obviously, Donald Trump was just about the only person there. Ron DeSantis didn't go. A lot of the others didn't go. Nikki Haley went, but she didn't get much done. They actually booed Nikki Haley. But Donald Trump, take a listen to Donald Trump take center stage at CPAC as key GOP hopefuls don't show.
Last night, Donald Trump grabbing the harness of the MAGA base.
I'm thrilled to be back at CPAC.
The type of Republican activist he's relying on to catapult him back into the White House.
We're going to see this battle through to ultimate victory. We're going to make America great again.
CPAC, the annual conservative gathering, a wild scene of Republican enthusiasts and a crowd overwhelmingly supportive of Trump's 2024 bid.
Donald Trump.
I'm a MAGA guy through and through.
There's nobody stopping him.
What are people coming to buy?
It's like 30 to 1 Trump over DeSantis.
An arena most other possible Republican contenders opted to avoid, except for Nikki Haley, the only major declared challenger to Trump.
If you're tired of losing, put your trust in a new generation.
Haley heckled by several on her way out. A straw poll taken at CPAC shows attendees favoring Trump over Florida Governor Ron DeSantis by more than 40 points. DeSantis did not attend CPAC and is yet to announce a presidential run.
Why should he not be the presidential candidate for Republicans?
Well, he can be if he wants to be.
Why should the folks not turn to him if he makes the case of being a new generation
of leaders? I think I've done something that nobody else has been able to do.
The conference here filled with Trump allies, including former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro made unsubstantiated claims of a stolen election in his home country, his supporters attacking the Capitol in January. He gave us his first on-camera interview with a U.S. TV outlet since losing his re-election bid.
Would you urge others around the world to resist the election denialism that we have seen play out in America and Brazil?
What we want is transparency, he said, and we want to respect the will of the people.
Now, Willie, former President Trump also affirmed last night that he would not drop out of the presidential race in the scenario he were to be indicted in any of the multiple investigations surrounding him, including those related to his own election denial claims. Willie?
Vaughn Hilliard in Washington. Vaughn, thanks so much.
All right, so there you have, they were talking about Trump being at CPAC 2023, and he was basically the superstar of that show, but this was not the highest attended CPAC in recent history, and there was a lot of empty seats, there was a lot of empty chairs there, but I want you to listen to what Donald Trump had to say. The first clip was what people said about him. Take a listen to what Donald Trump actually said when he stood up to give his speech.
In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen. But I stand here today, and I'm the only candidate who can make this promise. I will prevent, and very easily, World War III, very easily. And you're going to have World War III, by the way. You're going to have World War III. If something doesn't happen fast, you're going to have World War III. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, I will have the disastrous war between Russia and Ukraine settled. It will be settled quickly. Quickly. I will get the problem solved, and I will get it solved in rapid order, and it will take me no longer than one day. I know exactly what to say to each of them. I got along with very well with them. I got along very well with Putin, even though I'm the one that ended his pipeline. Remember, they said, Trump is giving a lot to Russia. Really? Putin actually said to me, if you're my friend, I'd hate like hell to see you as my enemy. With Obama, they took Crimea. With Biden, they're trying to take everything. And he won't even know they took it. Good. They have us put up the money. You know what I'm talking about. If you look at Ukraine, and we all feel so badly about it, but why isn't NATO putting up dollar for dollar with us? We put up $140 billion, and they put up just a tiny fraction of that. And, you know, we all want to see success, but it's far more important to them than it is to us. We had a Republican Party that was ruled by freaks, neocons, globalists, open border zealots, and fools. But we are never going back to the party of Paul Ryan, Karl Rove, and Jeb Bush. China-loving politicians, of which there are many. You're listening to this, Mitch McConnell? Are you listening?
All right, so there you have Donald Trump, and he said some good things. I mean, obviously, the Republican Party is in tough shape. And you look at people like Mitch McConnell, people like Lindsey Graham, just absolute career politicians. I mean, if they don't die first, Mitch McConnell will be 115 years old, and he'll be wheeled in on oxygen. He will never leave, and Lindsey Graham will never leave. And these people are very, very bad for the Republican Party. So I agree that the Republican Party needs to change. But the problem that you have is that Donald Trump did not keep a lot of the promises that he made back in 2016. And on top of that, Donald Trump was also the person who spread lies about the COVID vaccine. He's the one who takes credit for the COVID vaccine. And he had no problem repeating Democratic talking points back in 2020. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Take a listen to what Donald Trump said about people who get vaccinated and potential side effects. This was from December 6th of 2020. Take a listen to this.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option, yeah, to military men, you're going to have to resign, yeah, because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand, yeah, on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at, yeah, the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917.
Now, I'm just going to stop him right there for a second. In the chat room, we got about 186 people in the chat room right now. Could I just see by a show of hands how many of you in the chat room right now believe that Trump's COVID vaccine was one of the greatest achievements of mankind? Just type in yes if you agree with that, and type in no if you do not agree that the COVID vaccine under Donald Trump was one of the greatest achievements of mankind.
Remember, the Spanish flu killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, yeah, under Joe Biden,
right,
than under you. And more people took the vaccine this year. So people,
all
are
right,
questioning,
listen to this now.
How,
well, no, the vaccine worked, but yeah, some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
All right, so our informal poll in the chat room, as far as I can see, the answers came really, really quickly. It is 100% no, and nobody agreed that Trump's COVID vaccine was one of the greatest achievements of mankind. So everybody in the chat room who voted no, and I voted no as well. Okay, now I want you to listen what you just heard Donald Trump say about the COVID vaccine. Did that sound familiar to you at all? Did that sound like you had heard that someplace else, that if you take the vaccine, you're protected, and if you do get sick, it won't be bad, and if it does get bad and you go to the hospital, you won't die? Donald Trump said that on December 6th, but on July 20th, this is what Joe Biden said.
But I have a couple questions that I want to ask you, because,
sure,
you know, the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really,
sure,
around the world, but especially around America. New cases are up three times since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that this that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that still the case?
Well, look, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination. It's that basic, that simple. 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them or thereabouts are people who hadn't been vaccinated. This is a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. So it's gigantically important that you act like, we all act like Americans or care about our...
So, on July 21st, I had my dates a little mixed up, let me correct that. On July 21st of 2021, Joe Biden went on a CNN town hall, and he told the standard Pfizer-approved talking points that if you have your vaccine, you're not going to get sick, and if you do get sick, it won't be bad, and if it does get bad and you go to the hospital, you won't die. Joe Biden said that on July 21st of 2021. On December 6th of 2021, Donald Trump repeated what Joe Biden had said at the CNN town hall. On top of that, Donald Trump says that he is the father of the COVID vaccine.
I would have put a warning on or something on just that particular vaccine, but I certainly would have paused it and gotten front page news all over the world. And then people don't want it. And it probably even affects the others because, you know, there's a big situation with a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine. Well, this played right into their hands. And they want me to do public service messages and everything about everybody taking the vaccine. And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine because I was the one that pushed it. You know, to get it done in less than 9 months was a miracle. Fauci said it would take 3 to 5 years. He thought it was something that just wouldn't be that effective because it would take so long to get. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me. They have never, this is a very bureaucratic organization. I push them like they've never been pushed before, and that's why we have it. When they did the pause on Johnson & Johnson, I thought that was a very, very stupid thing to do.
Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly.
So if you're thinking about voting for Donald Trump, and I think I have a pretty good handle on the temperature of most topics that we talk about here at Now the End Begins. I read the emails, I see the messages, I see the comments that are made in the chat room, and I think I have a really good handle on how the vast majority of all of you, and I'm talking about tens of thousands of people right now who are our regular weekly listeners. The vast overwhelming majority of all of you are against the COVID vaccine. Well, if you're thinking about voting for Donald Trump, you're going to vote into office somebody who is very high on the COVID vaccine and thinks it was the greatest thing that was ever created by man in human history. And I don't know how you can reconcile those two things. You talk about the vaccine, you talk about the boosters, and hey, I talk about it right with you. I can't even repost this podcast to YouTube because what we're talking about will get me another 2 week suspension. And I've already had 3 2-week suspensions in the last 6 months. And quite frankly, I'm a little tired of getting suspended. So I'm not going to repost this podcast to YouTube because it's such a inflammatory topic. But you vote for whoever you want to vote for. But I'm not voting for Donald Trump. Because there's no way that I can reconcile my feelings about the vaccine and the booster with the person who says that he is the father of that same vaccine that I despise so very much. And I do. I have never taken it. I would never take it. If you ever hear an article that somebody says that I secretly took the vaccine, it's a complete and total lie. I would never, ever in a million trillion years allow the government to inject me with anything, and especially not that. Now, for those of you who are also fans of The Simpsons, perhaps you remember this episode from 2010 called The Fool Monty. See if this jogs your memory at all.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, we've got our deadly disease.
We have to burn everything the cat touched before the virus makes us paranoid!
Homer! Stop burning! They have a vaccine!
All right, we'll get the vaccine. Don't worry, people. We have enough vaccines for one child per family.
Oh, I don't even have a kid that I admit.
Please to use your time in line wisely to Sophie's Choice, your child.
So, I never really watched The Simpsons very much. I probably have seen The Simpsons more by going to YouTube to grab these clips that we play than actually watching the program. But I just find that was very interesting, that The Simpsons kind of predicted not only the COVID pandemic and the lockdown, they also predicted the vaccine and the reaction to the vaccine, which is a pretty good guess going back 13 years ago. Going back 3 years ago, how about this scene from a streaming program on Hulu called Utopia? See if this rings any bells for you.
Your father created a world changing, not world ending, a world changing, world improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the Stearns flu.
I knew it. I knew it.
Created a panic, and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No. Demanding it with all the entitlement of a first world country.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation.
I'm pretty sure when every vaccinated person starts dying, they'll trace back to undetectable virus or not.
You've all been very busy. You're all very sharp. Are you sure none of you would like to come and work for me? No? Then understand this. What we are doing is far bigger than death.
Wait. This virus is not deadly.
It looks pretty damn deadly.
Tell me this. What have you done today to earn your place in this crowded world? Exactly. Everything I do is a cure for our current situation.
How's it a cure? If
you're killing people.
I told you it does not kill. That was the amazing epiphany we had. We didn't have to kill to accomplish our goal.
So, there you have a couple clips about COVID and the COVID vaccine. And Donald Trump says he's the father of the COVID vaccine. So, again, I honestly don't know how you can reconcile hating the vaccine and then voting for the person who claims to have created it. I really don't know mentally how you get there. And if he was president again, would we have another vaccine? Would we have another lockdown? Would we have another pandemic? I don't know. But I do know that Donald Trump could have fired Anthony Fauci, and he didn't. He could have pardoned Julian Assange, but he didn't do that either. He promised to investigate Hillary Clinton and bring her to justice. That didn't happen. His main campaign promise was that he was going to build the wall, and he was only able to get 20% of that promise fulfilled. He did good with the stock market. He did good with energy. He did good with stuff like that. But those are really kind of like generic promises. I'll improve the economy. The stock market will go up. To be perfectly honest, the stock market going up doesn't really mean all that much to me. I don't have any investments. If the economy gets really good and people are spending more and companies are hiring more people, that's always good for everybody. But simply to have the stock market go up, that doesn't do anything for me. And I don't think that does much of anything for the vast majority of people listening to this program. So anyway, there you have Donald Trump. And he said, and let me just repeat what he said. He said that if you elect him president, that he is going to use his presidency, to get revenge on all his enemies. He said, "I am your warrior, I am your justice, and I am your retribution." Now, if you vote for that, then whatever you get after voting for that, you can go ahead and enjoy that. But that doesn't sound like the type of president that I want. And I don't think that that's the type of president that you want. But it's a free country. You can cast your vote wherever you would like to put that vote. Here's an interesting article, and I honestly don't know what to make of this article. King Charles III, on his coronation day, is going to be anointed with a special oil called chrism oil, CHRISM. And I'm reading this article from CNN.com from Saturday. The sacred oil that will be used to anoint King Charles III at his coronation May 6th has been consecrated at a Christian holy site in Jerusalem, Buckingham Palace has announced. The chrism oil. Now, I've never heard of chrism oil. It sounds very, very close to chrislam. The chrism oil was created using olives harvested from two groves on the Mount of Olives, a mountain ridge to the east of Jerusalem's Old City, which holds religious importance to Christians. So, King Charles, a number of you think that he could possibly be the Antichrist, and we have talked about that many times. I mean, he wouldn't really get my vote, but he says some wacky things. He was talking about a military-style takeover. Remember this?
So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. with trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
So that, and I've played that clip many times before, but I usually play it with the dramatic music added for emphasis. And this time I just wanted you to hear the clip with no accoutrements, with no embellishing, with no adding the scary music and all that stuff. I just wanted you to hear what he actually said. And it's pretty crystal clear what he actually said. He wants a vast military-style campaign, and he wants to put trillions of dollars at the disposal of an unnamed person. And some people have said, well, that's just his English accent. He didn't say trillions at his disposal. He said trillions at its disposal, meaning the climate change movement. But that clip had no special effects of any kind. That was just his voice from the speech that he gave. And it sure sounds, and I've heard that clip dozens of times, it sure sounds like he's saying trillions at his disposal. So he's going to be anointed with a very special oil called chrism oil. And I haven't had time to look into that, and I haven't had time to look that up. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that the same person who calls for this vast military-style campaign and for trillions of dollars to be placed at somebody's disposal, he's going to be anointed with olive oil from the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem, and they call it chrism oil. Now, we probably shouldn't be surprised, because today is day 1,085 of 15 days to stop the spread or flatten the curve. And here it is. Wikipedia said that chrism oil is a holy anointing oil that is mostly used by the Roman Catholic Church. Isn't that interesting? Chrism, C-H-R-I-S. You're only missing the L and the A, and you have chrislam oil. So that's what he's going to be anointed with. And we will absolutely keep an eye on that. And that is, you know, he has a lot of the red flags. I just simply have to say it. He has a lot of the red flags, but chrism oil is used by Eastern Orthodox, Old Catholic, the Catholic Church, the Mormons. They use chrism oil as well. So there you have King Charles III, and when we did our research on him, we found that he is a blood relative of the man after whom the vampire movies are patterned after. And we wrote an article back in 2022 called, "Is Anybody Really Shocked?" And it's a rhetorical question. Is anybody really shocked that England's new king, Charles III, is a direct blood relation to Vlad the Impaler, who inspired the Dracula legend? And here you have this guy. He's going to be anointed with chrism oil from Jerusalem, from the Mount of Olives. It has a very, very strong Catholic connotation. So you really can't make this stuff up. It gets weirder and weirder by the day. Now, let's just talk for a moment about Antichrist. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's just talk for a moment about Antichrist. And I see a number of things in the chat room and people saying, well, you know, King Charles couldn't be the Antichrist because he's too old. Or Emmanuel Macron couldn't be the Antichrist because he's not liked by enough people. And one thing that you have to keep in mind, and we've talked about this a lot on the Bible studies, but since we're also talking about it here, it bears repeating. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When the rapture takes place, there's going to be a number of profound and fundamental changes that are going to be global changes. And it's not simply going to affect people in Israel or the Middle East or America or Europe. There's going to be vast global changes in the immediate aftermath of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ," that's the rapture of the church, "as that the day of Christ is at hand." And then Paul says there are two qualifications for the rapture to take place. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," the day of Christ, the rapture of the church, "for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." And 2 Timothy chapter 4, we talked about that yesterday on the Sunday service. People will no longer endure doctrine. That is the falling away. So Paul says, "Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, comma, and then in that space, right after the comma, that's where the rapture happens, and then the man of sin that was revealed becomes the son of perdition, Antichrist." Now, look down in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look down in verse 8, and I want to show you the drastic change that takes place globally after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." Capital W, wicked, that's Antichrist. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." And this is why people get left behind right here. "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So who gets left behind? The bad people? No. The people who rejected Paul's gospel. The people who rejected becoming born again. The people who refused what Paul calls my gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. The people that get left behind are the people who rejected the gospel. Now, look at verse 11. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Now, everything that you think that you know about what it's going to look like after we leave, you have to factor into that God is going to send a strong delusion. And that delusion is that Antichrist is the Messiah. So it stands to reason that there's going to be fundamental changes in how people perceive things. and how other people act and what other people look like and sound like. You have to remember that when the rapture takes place, everything changes. It's not simply going to be day-to-day life with 500 million people gone. It is going to be a world that is going to be under a strong and serious delusion. So within that context, everything is going to change. People who are not thought of very highly here, they're going to be worshipped during that time period. People who look too old or too weak or whatever the case is, I can easily see, let's just say hypothetically, that King Charles is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that he is, but let's just say hypothetically that he is. In my mind, I could easily see that all of a sudden he's 40 years younger. Now, I don't think that's out of bounds, because everything is going to change after the rapture takes place. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, Paul tells you that when the rapture takes place, people are going to change. For those of us who are saved, our bodies are going to be transformed when we go up. For the people who are left behind, the deceitful workers of iniquity are going to be transformed. They're not going to be the same that they are right now. So you can't look at what life would look like after the rapture from church age lenses. You have to look at it in the light of everything changing and everything being transformed. So you have somebody like Prince Charles, King Charles. He's old. He's in his late 70s. I could easily see if he was the Antichrist, he would be 33 and a half years old. If Emmanuel Macron is the Antichrist, I mean, he's not old, but he's not very well liked. I could easily see the whole world falling in love with whoever the Antichrist was, because Paul says that in that time period, people are going to be transformed. When we get raptured, we're going to be transformed. There's going to be transformation all over the place. So that's what you have to keep in mind. You can't look at what life will be like in the tribulation from a church age perspective. So I hope that that kind of gives you a little bit more light on that topic. So when you're trying to figure out, well, who are going to be the players during that time period, just remember to factor in everybody's going to go through a major transformation, and the world is going to be placed under the strong delusion that Antichrist is the Messiah. Now, and that's exactly how the world is going to look at him. Just go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says an amazing thing. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, talking about Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is, capital, G-O-D, God. That's how the world is going to perceive him. Paul is not saying that Satan somehow becomes God. Paul is saying that the world is going to look at Satan in the form of Antichrist as God the Father with a capital G. And that is what the strong delusion is, that Antichrist is God. And of course, Jesus Christ is God, so you do the math and there you go. Now, we understand that as born-again believers in the church age, we are not going to enter into that period of time that the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble. The rapture, we are not appointed to wrath, the Bible says. But we are going to be removed before that time period starts. Now, while we wait, we are starting to see the whole world preparing itself for that time period. Take a listen to this.
Ford has applied for a patent, too, for some technology that lets vehicles repossess themselves. If owners ignore the warnings about missed payments, the system starts with disabling features such as GPS, air conditioning, cruise control, and the radio. Don't take away the air conditioning. It could also emit irritating sounds, rather, when the driver is there. Next, it could lock the owner out of the vehicle. And if the owner still doesn't pay, this vehicle may be able to drive itself to a spot for a tow truck to come pick it up, or to an impound lot or a repossession agency or a lending institution. And if repossession costs more than the vehicle is worth, it could drive itself all the way to the junkyard. They've really been spending some time thinking about how to get the car back if you're not paying for it.
So that is a story that broke over the weekend, and Ford Motor Company has applied for a patent that will allow them to repossess your car if you stop making payments, or if Ford doesn't recognize that you made the payment. You might want to think about it from that perspective as well. They have applied for technology that will take your self-driving Ford and start it up and drive it back to the Ford dealership or drive it to the junkyard. And if they don't choose to exercise that option, they can turn off the air conditioning. They can turn off your power seats. Why do you think that they've been spending so much time putting microchips into cars? Have you ever wondered about that? Why do you think that they want everybody to be on electric everything? Have you ever wondered about that? For the same reason why they're trying to get rid of cash and replace cash with a digital dollar. Because they can just simply erase your money like it doesn't exist. So this is the world that we're living in. And everything is unified and wired up and connected. And I had an alarm system installed last week. And the guy who was installing the alarm system said, well, you know, if you had the Google Home system, we could connect your alarm to your air conditioning, to your heating, to the opening and closing of your front door, to turning your lights on and off. And there is an entire system now. The whole thing can be controlled with an app. And so what do we see? We see the entire world preparing itself, not for the rapture, not to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. We see the world preparing itself, the unsaved world, which is the largest part of this world. we see this unsaved world preparing itself to go through the tribulation. That's where everything is working towards. And so with that in mind, we have been redesigning our street preacher section of our website. And if you go to BibleBeliever.com, and I just want to give a little bit of a plug for the bookstore right now. If you go to BibleBeliever.com, we are every week we are adding new things to our witnessing section. I have changed the name of it from Gospel Tracts to Street Preacher, and we have lots and lots of tools that you need to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. And the time has never been more important. You got to make sure that you're filling your pockets and pocketbooks and the console of your car with gospel tracts. And you got to be ready to witness. You got to be ready. I was getting out of my car this morning, coming over to the studio to do the podcast. And I saw that there were some Spanish workers who have been adding new gutters to the roof. I had Spanish "This Was Your Life" chick tracks in the glove compartment of my car. And I walked over to the man and I gave him "This Was Your Life" in Spanish. So we have English tracks, we have Spanish tracks, and we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com. We have just redone our mini gospel toolkit, our large gospel toolkit. And if you have a passion for souls, you need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're shy. A lot of people are shy. But you're not too shy that you can't silently hand somebody a gospel tract. You can do that. So we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com. That's the official bookstore ministry of Now the End Begins. People stop in for prayer all the time. We are witnessing constantly through the bookstore. The ladies that work there are, they have such a heart for souls. They're handing out gospel tracts, giving out free Bibles. The bookstore is where, when individuals request a free Bible, all those hundreds and hundreds of Ruckman reference Bibles, they all go out through the bookstore. And that is one of the ministries of Now the End Begins. It's not primarily a business. It's a ministry first, and it's a business second. So we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. So the Ford Motor Company, they filed for a patent that would let the car that they sold you repossess itself. Here's another story you might find interesting. Ukrainian pilots in Arizona are now working with U.S. military pilots.
Now to the war in Ukraine and the major step the U.S. is now taking to support the Ukrainian military. For the first time, Ukrainian pilots are here in America preparing to train on F-16 fighter jets. NBC News Pentagon correspondent Courtney Kuby broke the news first and joins us now. Courtney?
Kate, for the first time, Ukrainian pilots are in the U.S. working with U.S. military pilots to assess their skills and familiarize them on new equipment and aircraft like the F-16. The two Ukrainian pilots are at a U.S. military base in Tucson, Arizona, working on simulators that mimic various aircraft. They are not flying actual planes, according to defense officials. And as many as 10 more Ukrainian pilots are expected to join them in the coming weeks. This comes as Ukrainian President Zelensky has repeatedly asked the U.S. for F-16s, but the Biden administration has resisted. Last week, the Pentagon's top policy official told Congress F-16s could take at least 18 months to deliver and cost billions of dollars, saying Pentagon leaders instead are focused on weapons and equipment they can deliver more immediately. Kate?
So, to date, the United States has given the nation of Ukraine almost $150 billion. And if you notice, there hasn't been a whole lot of humanitarian relief coming from any government to Ukraine It's mostly just been hard, cold cash. And Ukraine has received about $200 billion in money. And now we are training Ukrainian pilots. So it's starting to look, well, not starting to look, but it's looking a whole lot like it's a money laundering operation. That's what it looks like, what's happening in Ukraine. What on earth has Ukraine done with $200 billion? That is an unbelievably vast amount of wealth. And yet, nothing ever changes. Ukraine is not one bit farther along in ending the war with Russia. They're not one step closer to overcoming the forces of Vladimir Putin. What are they doing with that money? And where is that money going? And why is there no accountability? Well, if you're asking any of those questions, and I hope that you are, then you know that back in 2014, the Obama-Biden government sponsored and supported the overthrow of the Ukrainian government. And they installed somebody that would be overtly hostile to the nation of Russia. That's who they put in power. And in some respects and on some levels, I agree with Vladimir Putin on some things. Just imagine if your country was having NATO encroaching and getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Just imagine if you were the head of Russia and all of a sudden you see a coup taking place in the nation of your next door neighbor, and it's a coup that was backed by the United States and NATO. I mean, what would your reaction be? So, Vladimir Putin is not wrong about everything. I am not a Putin supporter. I don't support the Russian government. I'm just simply saying, yes, he started that war, and he had a lot of motivation and encouragement to start the war. And at some point, World War III, if nothing changes, at some point, World War III is absolutely going to break out. But in the meantime, we're talking about lab leak deniers. Take a listen to this from The Hill about the COVID lab leak.
Let's get right into it today. It's a big show. FBI Director Christopher Wray has acknowledged that the Bureau believes that COVID-19 was likely the result of a lab accident in Wuhan, China. Let's hear what he had to say.
The FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
So there you have Christopher Wray from the FBI. And you just heard him say that it is highly likely that COVID originated when the SARS-CoV-2 virus escaped out of the lab in Wuhan, China. When we said that 3 years ago, Facebook removed our Now the End Begins platform that we had had for a decade with hundreds of thousands of followers. When we published stories about the lab leak in China and how it was intentional and all this stuff, we lost our very large Facebook platform. And here we are 3 years later, and the FBI is telling you, yeah, it's a lab leak.
Let me step back for a second. You know, the FBI has folks, agents, professionals, analysts, virologists, microbiologists, etc., who focus specifically on the dangers of biological threats, which include things like novel viruses like COVID, and the concerns that in the wrong hands, some bad guys, a hostile nation state, a terrorist, a criminal, the threats that those could pose. So here you're talking about a potential leak from a Chinese government controlled lab that killed millions of Americans. And that's precisely what that capability was designed for.
Now, this comes just days after the Department of Energy's low confidence assessment that COVID-19 most likely originated from a lab leak in China.
Now, some of lab leak's critics are arguing that getting to the bottom of the origins of COVID is a fool's errand. Researcher Michael Osterholm had this to say on CNN yesterday.
I think we have to move on. And I worry that we're wasting time getting prepared for the next virus to hit us, where both lab leaks and the potential for spillover are real possibilities. That's what we should be spending our time doing right now. I promise you that in 10 years from now, we will not be any closer to solving where did this virus come from.
Joining us now to discuss is molecular biologist and scientific advisor at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, Alina Chan. Alina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, you recently tweeted that we have now entered the fourth year of not having a credible, rigorous investigation of the origin of COVID. Are we waiting for its 100th anniversary or the next pandemic before a bipartisan investigation can get underway? So what do you have to say to those in the commentariat who say, no, we should just move on. We won't know in 10 years.
I'd ask them to imagine doing that for any other major crisis. So just look at anything else, like plane crashes, don't investigate, let's just move on. I think that's amazing. So the reason why it's important to find the origin of COVID-19 is threefold. So the first thing is to inform pandemic prevention, unless you can understand the series of events that led to this pandemic.
So there you have, over on thehill.com, they're talking about lab leaks. And look, we've played all the clips over the last 1,085 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. We've played the clips with Rand Paul going head to head with Anthony Fauci, and clips like this, Marco Rubio demanding an apology from Fauci for the lies about COVID.
Thanks, all of you, for being here. I think I'll direct this to Dr. Fauci, but I welcome everybody's answer. I just want to go through so what we do know. We've heard a lot about what we don't know. So here are the things that we do know, okay? So SARS-1, we identified the host animal within 4 months. MERS, I believe we identified the host animal within 9 months. It's now been 15 and a half, 16 months. We've still not seen, and China has not produced any evidence of the host animal that transmitted COVID-19 to a human. We know that China has a history of lab accidents. I think, Dr. Fauci, you answered Senator Graham's question. I think he phrased it as, has there ever been a pandemic that came out of a laboratory? And the answer was no. But we do know of outbreaks that came out of a laboratory. I believe back in 2004, two researchers in Beijing were infected doing research on SARS and led to an outbreak. China has a history of lab accidents. This outbreak happened in a city that happened to be the home, coincidentally, of a lab, which we know is involved in extensive research. And what they do is they take this naturally occurring virus and they manipulate it and they change it to make it infectious to humans. We know that they do that there. They've published about it. And it also happened in a city in a lab where a Rutgers biosecurity expert raised concerns about its safety. And our diplomats in 2018 were cabling back to Washington expressing concern about the safety. So I take all those facts together, right? SARS, we knew the host in 4 months. MERS, we knew the host in 9. We still don't know the host for COVID, even though, and China's not being transparent about it, even though they have a vested interest in producing the host so they can put all of this down. In a lab that we know is involved in changing viruses synthetically so that they become infectious for humans. In a lab that diplomats have told us is unsafe, and a country that had a history of lab leaks. And by the way, in a virus that we know can be synthetically created because the Swiss did it. The Swiss created an exact replica of this virus in the lab for purposes of answering it. All these facts were available to us last May, last April. why, I'll start with Dr. Fauci. Why did you dismiss the lab leak theory as credible?
So there you have Marco Rubio, and he just, you know, did a lot of talking. But here's the question for Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, why did you dismiss the lab leak theory as being credible?
I have always said that the high likelihood is that this is a natural occurrence. I didn't dismiss anything. I just said it's a high likelihood that this is a natural occurrence from the environment of an animal reservoir that we have not yet identified. Well, and I still maintain that, but as I just mentioned in response to other questions, that since you don't know 100% about that, because no one knows, including me, 100% what the origin is the reason why we're in favor of further investigation.
Well, given everything I've decided, and if anything I decided is incorrect, I hope it'll be correct that I'm relying, obviously it's not my field of study, so I'm relying on what other experts have published. What is the basis for this what is the basis for the conclusion that it is likelier to have been naturally occurring than a lab accident? I asked a specific question to the Director of National Intelligence, and how I posed it is it not true that it is the assessment that they are equally likely based on our information that we have? So as I outline all of these things here, is she wrong when she answered me yes? And based on everything I've just cited, what is it that we're basing the higher likelihood of naturally occurring? Is it simply because that's all we've ever seen in the past?
Well, we have historical experience.
All right, enough of that. But you get the idea. And let's wrap this up. Let me start to put the bow on this for you. We started the program by talking about Donald Trump at CPAC and how he wants to be your retribution, and he wants to be your voice, and he wants to do all this stuff. Yet, he's the same guy who gave us the COVID vaccine, the COVID boosters, and he's the same guy who repeated Democratic talking points about that. He's also the same guy that could have fired Anthony Fauci, and he did not. He did not choose to fire Anthony Fauci. So what was the reason for the lockdowns and the pandemic? I'm going to play this clip that we played last year. And some of you have heard this. We have a lot of new listeners, and some of you have not heard this. Take a listen to Benjamin Netanyahu revealing that the entire nation of Israel was given over to Pfizer Pharmaceuticals to create a biometric database. Take a listen to this.
One example, so you'll see, because I don't want to bore you with detailed plans, but they are detailed in my mind. We came out of COVID first. I described that in my book, my conversations with Albert Bourla of Pfizer, and I persuaded him to give tiny Israel the necessary vaccines to get us out first from the COVID. And the reason I could do that is because we have a database, 98%, a medical database, 98% of our population has digitized medical records and little card. And anywhere you go in any hospital in Israel, north, south, doesn't make any difference. Boom, you punch it in and you know everything about this patient for the last 20 years. I said, we'll use that to tell you whether these vaccines, what do they do to people, not individual people, not with their individual identities, but statistically, what does it do to people with, meningitis? What does it do to people with high blood pressure? What is it, you want to know that. So Israel became, if you will, the lab for Pfizer, and that's how we did it. We got it out, and we gave the information to the world, not only, it's been published in medical magazines and so on. That's a database we have. I intend to bring on that database of personal medical records for entire population, a genetic database, genomes, okay? Give me a saliva sample, volunteer. But I'm sure most people would do it. Maybe we'll pay them. Now we have a genetic record on a medical record of a robust population. You have to have diversified populations. We have people from 100 lands. This is a very powerful engine. Now let pharma companies, let medical companies, let them run algorithms on this database, okay? I'm telling you right away that I'll give preference for a few years to Israeli firms, but you can create, and then to the world, but you can create a biotechnological industry that is unheard of right now, unheard of, unimagined even. And these are just the examples. We can become a light, stave off Iran, become a light unto the nations. So
there you have Benjamin Netanyahu. Last year he was, he was kind of bragging about the fact that when the nation of Israel, and if you know anything about Bible prophecy, you know that Israel and the Jewish people are the time clock of Bible prophecy. So I just think it's amazingly interesting that the nation of Israel used their entire citizen population to create a genetic database that was willingly given to Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. And so this is where the whole world is heading. We are here on day 1,085 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And, the fun hasn't stopped yet. This is why we're still doing the countdown. The reason why we haven't stopped the countdown is because the events that prompted the countdown have not stopped. They have not gone away. Yes, there is no current lockdown. Yes, there is no current vaccine mandate. But there's a whole lot of other things that are 100% connected to those things. And digital identification, absolutely coming. Ford Motor Company is filing for patents that will allow them to start up your car while you're sleeping and have it drive back to their house. Jericho is asking, will the camp meeting be broadcast or recorded? Well, the whole thing is going to be about 6 hours long on Saturday. So there will be parts of that will be recorded, absolutely. And there will be some live streams that will be going on. But if you're thinking about going to the camp meeting, we are just in total attendance. We are right around 160 people. And we have about, 120, 130 that have registered. We have another 20, 30 people that have not registered that I know for a fact are coming. So we are definitely looking like, Lord willing, it's going to be our largest camp meeting and it's going to be exciting. So if you are thinking about coming to the camp meeting, you need to go and register so that we can hold your spot. It doesn't cost anything. There is no charge for the camp meeting. But you do need to register because we need a head count for chairs and food and stuff like that. And with that, we've come to the end of today's program. I want to thank you for tuning in, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for another NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. And please wish Roxanne Burton a very happy birthday today. Happy birthday, Roxanne. Have a great week, everybody.
It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home.